So hello, and welcome. I am thrilled to introduce you to my next guest. Dr. Christine Cocciola joins me. She's at a conference today. She actually stepped aside into a quiet place where she could share with you, the listeners, some skills and tips on how to navigate really difficult situations around parenting and children. So welcome, Dr. Chris. Can I call you Dr. Christine?
That's absolutely fine. How are you? Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm doing really well. Thank you. My parenting's not quite done, but my kids are in their 20s now. And I remember a long, long, long time ago with an abusive ex-husband, and it was just really challenging. I didn't know what to do.
It's so hard when you're trying to navigate these relationships, right? Because there's this part of you that wants to, first of all, keep the family together sometimes, right? Even though there may be someone who's harmful. And then the other part to that is sometimes you don't even know they're really harmful because they're
Yeah.
so insidious about the
Oh
behaviors.
my gosh. Yeah. I think I spent, I want to think 6 or 7 years trying to make it work, trying to have it not be like it was, you know?
Sometimes when I first come on podcasts, I kind of try to get rid of the veil of shame because I started this work when I was 19 as a domestic abuse sexual assault crisis counselor for the local umbrella agency. I did that on-call work for over 30 years.
Oh my
And I
goodness.
also worked in child welfare, and obviously many of my cases were domestic abuse. And
Yeah.
I became an educator and a school social worker and a licensed clinical social worker on top of it, and teach on this concept every single semester in my college social work courses, and didn't know it was happening to me. So I stayed married to someone for over 27 years because I couldn't believe that the person was really that harmful. So the point is to your point, is it's really hard to miss. It's hard to see the signs when they're very insidious and nuanced, even to the most astute of us.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about your I really tried to memorize the words that you used around parenting, but I was having challenges with it, so I thought I'd just let you talk about it. And it had to do with being the parent who isn't abusive, I think.
Yeah, so I call, of course, like that's the protective parent, the safe parent, right? And
Yeah.
what I figured out in my own circumstances when I did finally leave, because what we know about coercive control, it's the foundation of all domestic abuse. And I think the reason why I didn't know I was in an abusive relationship, and perhaps you, is because if there isn't physical violence, or it doesn't happen a lot, we just assume that we're not a victim. And the reality is that most abuse is about power and control, and that when there is physical violence, it's oftentimes very violent and or the last act. It's like I often
Yeah.
hear my clients say, if he would only hit me, then I would know it was abuse, right? And I would be able to
Right.
leave. And so
Right.
I guess
I even had attorneys tell me there's nothing they could do. Like when I wanted to leave, and they'd be like, "Well, if he doesn't hit you, there's nothing we can do." Like it was such ignorance. This is years back. And I remember also something that you just said kind of triggered this ego thing where like it couldn't happen to me. Like I was also like a psychology major. I also like counseled teens, right, to get through the abusive situations. The kids would come to me, right, and just get help from me. And so there was something about it being such a odd thing. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, sure. Yeah, no, I think that you're right. It's hard to believe it's you. It's hard to believe, and there's a lot of shame, of course, around all of this, right? So I think it's important to highlight that. That's why I became, I was already doing clinical work and counseling people leaving these types of relationships. Yet again, it wasn't clear to me that this was happening in my own. And so I think it's easy to miss the signs. And then, if you're a parent in this situation, I think it's really, really important for protective parents to understand that if you think the abuser, the coercive controller, is not abusive to your children, I'm sorry to tell you that you're incorrect, because what we know is that if my pathology is to basically gain control, power over people, that includes the children. It just may be in a much more nuanced way with the children. And in that, there is a psychological trauma, because what these abusers really, really work hard to do is to fracture the attachment between the protective parent and the abuser. And the reason why they do that is when, in fact, a victim decides to leave, they now have done a really good job of laying down the foundation to ensure that the children are confused. And so that is really the focus of my work. I mean, I try to help protective moms in particular. I work with dads, but I don't invite into my live groups. I work particularly with moms. And in that, it's about giving them the tools that a clinician has, myself, on how to behave in the home in a trauma-informed way. But beyond that, it's like, I love all these trauma-informed therapists that are online and all of this work that is so great. We're learning how to raise children in a much healthier way. But like, let's add the coercive control goggles on, because that is a whole nother level of trauma. That is not even right. It's an unacknowledged child abuse. It truly is. Nobody recognizes that children living in these family systems, or very few people. People in my area certainly do, but nobody really. The courts don't. The child welfare doesn't. The schools don't. So these children, unfortunately, are trying to navigate a really toxic situation, an abusive situation, and their protective parent may not even realize it. And in that, even if they did, the abuser has so much control, it's really challenging.
I think one thing that I can bring to this, as far as like, what if we don't, is then the child will marry someone like their dad.
Yeah, or become that marry someone like their dad, or sadly, I mean, and it's not, as you know, black and white, but you certainly could create. So the coercive controller's goal is to compromise the children so that they don't feel a strong, healthy attachment to one primary caretaker, a protective caretaker. And in that, the brain actually is traumatized. And unfortunately, in that, they learn to have, trauma reactions, right? Fight, which would be more like an abuser, flight, freeze, or fawn. And fawn is definitely like the adult victim. So these children, unfortunately, don't necessarily have the best coping skills in dealing and navigating with relationships, because they haven't had that. That attachment is never gone. I always tell protective parents, the attachment is never gone. But you have to believe that from day one, the coercive controller has been chiseling away at that attachment in very insidious ways to undermine you in the family system, so that when in fact you decide to leave, they can literally unleash the children as weapons.
I used to keep track of the texts that the ex would send the kids. And I did something recently, and I looked back at that because I had kept them in a record, kind of in a vault. And it amazes me to this day that I wasn't able to stop it sooner, right? Two of my three kids were able to really, I feel, change the scenario. And the oldest one, it just feels like, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, it's challenging. It's really challenging for them, because we live in a world where we are basically gaslighting ourselves, and the coercive controller is gaslighting us, right? And then in that, we almost make it seem like there's an elephant in the room that nobody's talking about, and sometimes you don't even know
I
the
know,
elephant's there.
it's crazy. I'm so glad that you're in the trenches with this. I'm so pleased. Why don't you spend a little time just talking about the programs you run or how people can get help? Just dive into it a little bit. Tell people how you can help them through these scenarios.
Sure. So I have a protective parenting program that is basically, in total, it's 9 modules, and 12 hours of video lessons, and 190 pages of workbook content. I do that live, or you can do that virtually, like self-study. And really what it is it's it, I have a Venn diagram, and I kind of go through like your trauma. Now let's look through the course of control and your child's trauma, grief and loss, and how to really show up for your child in a way that you become elevated in their lives. And so it, that's really what I would say is the course of control is constantly trying to diminish the protective parent. And if you can elevate yourself in your children's lives in an authentic way, in a way that doesn't feel haughty or grandiose like the course of controller, then your children are going to get clarity. And so the program is
Absolutely.
built around that. I also have a master class for attorneys and court professionals. It's a 2.5 hour long master class. That attorneys can, go in, watch it for 2.5 hours. I'm assuming they're going to need a break. It's pretty intensive. I really tried to do it all in 2.5 hours, which is hard.
Wow.
I have a protective parents and allies little class. It's just a little webinar, but it's really for like if you have a loved one who is like, how bad is it really? If like the people in your life who don't really get it, if you would like them to watch a webinar to get educated, it's
Nice.
There's that. And then I also have a Where Is Your Line, which is something I do at the college where I teach full time. I have an intimate partner violence program. And really, it's Where's Your Line? Love is not control. I do have 20, a 20 minute video of that on my website. People can watch it for free. I also have Reignited Attachment on my website so that people can kind of go in and just get these free webinars and see if maybe they think that I can help them further because, of course, I really believe that protective parents have so much influence. I just think that when you are such a trauma victim, you get stuck and you don't realize how much influence you have. And this is not in any way to minimize the trauma, but I would ask protective parents to deal with their trauma with their own trauma-trained therapist for sure, and someone who understands coercive control. I actually have a guide on my website on how to hire a therapist. But what I would say is that if you can kind of put your trauma, it sounds a little callous, but in a box, and in your home, pretend your child is not your child. Pretend that they are your client. Pretend that you're the camp counselor. Pretend because so when children go, when we go to therapy and children go to therapy, if they go to a therapist who is just trying to validate them, they might be going to the therapist and saying horrible things about you because that's the narrative they're getting. What if we took that 50 minutes a week that they're with a therapist, and rather than that, unless they had an excellent therapist who understands course of control and understands the indoctrination that's occurring, if they don't, what if you in the home could really be their support and give them clarity without disparaging ever? We never disparage the other parent, but there is a way to elevate yourself in that home and to give your children clarity so that they don't have any doubts anymore about who the stable parent is, who the safe parent is. That's my
Right.
goal.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Thank you so much for coming. How do we reach you and find out more?
Sure. So people can go to it's Coercive Control Consulting is my website, but it's easier to remember iknowyourheart.com. And frankly, all protective parents know their children's hearts better than anyone.
That's
So
true.
I do have a podcast called Perfect Prey because I believe that children become the perfect prey of the abuser. And I'm on episode 4 coming out next week. And
Nice.
yeah, so thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for coming. Dr. Christine Cocciola, everyone.